The Executive Vice President of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
God said to Enoch when he walked with him, just come on home with me, dwell with me. God says to every one of us, I've got a dwelling place for you for all eternity, and you can come and live with me. And we'll set aside all the things of this life that have been so painful and heartbreaking and burdensome for you. And you can spend forever with me in a place of joy and happiness.
We'll return with Dr. Wood's message on God's invitations in just a few moments. But first, let me offer you an invitation to come visit us this fall. And if your son or daughter is a rising high school junior or senior, they are eligible for a free trip to Bob Jones University. This fall, we'll be sending our motor coach to various states on more than a dozen trips to visit the campus. They'll get a great behind-the-scenes look at campus life, classes, and the facilities. And special events and games are planned to ensure a great time. For information about future bus trips that may be in your area, call 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. That's 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Or you can visit us at www.bju.edu. Let's now join the student body for a recent summer chapel service preached by the Executive Vice President of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
I want to share some devotional thoughts with you today rather than preach to you. I want to stimulate your mind to think about your relationship with God and just kind of browse through the Scripture and give you a few passages that I hope will set you on the right course to create the right kind of devotional relationship with your God. A few weeks ago, I walked in the house one night, and on the side of our kitchen table, I saw this large stack of mail. And I said to my wife, "What is all that mail?" She said, "Oh, well, that's invitations that have come in the last few weeks. I've gotten them all out to sort through them. And there are graduation invitations there. There are a few high school graduations. There are a lot of college graduations. There's a couple of invitations to birthday parties. There are numerous wedding invitations, people that are getting married right after school is out." And I said, "Boy, that's quite a large stack of invitations to avail yourself of." Then later that night, I heard her talking with one of her friends, and she said, "Did you get an invitation to such and such a shower?" "Oh, yes, I got an invitation." "Did you get an invitation to so-and-so's wedding?" "Yes, I got an invitation there." I thought, how interesting that life is taken up with so many invitations. When we want to include other people in special occasions and special events in our lives. Then I begin to think about how many invitations there are in Scripture. How many times God invites us somewhere. We look at an invitation and we say, "Well, how well do I know this person? Do I want to be with them? Do I want to share this special occasion with them?" Sometimes we receive an invitation and we think, "This is really important. This is a person who has a high position or someone who has thought of our family and included us in this very special occasion, and we think highly of that invitation." But what do you think about invitations that God has given to us in Scripture? Now, that's an invitation of the highest honor, for God to invite us to an occasion that He has and that He's holding, to include us literally in His life, and to place Himself literally into our life. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 12 says, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. All through the Bible, we constantly see this invitation to walk with God. Walk with God. We talk about walking with God. We talk about walking in the Spirit. And there are too many passages for me to name this morning. But if we were to walk with God every day, this would settle the direction of our lives. We would always be going in the right direction. We would always be moving toward the proper goals. In 1 John 1, 5 through 7, it talks about having fellowship with Him and walking with Him. The disciples were enlightened when they walked with the Lord Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And Amos 3:3 says to us, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The inference of that passage of Scripture is that you don't want to walk with someone you don't agree with. You don't agree with where they're going. You don't agree with what they say. You don't agree with their thoughts and motivation about life. Why is it that so many of God's children refuse God's invitation to walk with Him and settle the direction of their lives? I think it's pretty simple. I think the bottom line is pretty clear. We just don't agree with God. I wonder how many of you that are here today that know the Lord as your personal Savior really look at the Bible and the restrictions in the Bible and the request it makes of you and the truths it teaches you and say, "I don't really agree with that. I don't agree that those things are wrong." I assure you, God never invited you to walk with Him to a movie. He never invited you to walk with Him to a bar or to a dance hall. See, He doesn't go to those places. But the reason that we miss one of the greatest opportunities we all have in life is that we simply don't agree with God. As long as there's no unconfessed, unjudged sin in your life, you have a perfect opportunity to walk with the Lord. In Genesis chapter 5, listen to what the Scripture says. Enoch walked with God. And he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Scripture goes on to tell us in Genesis 6 and verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Now Noah was a just and perfect man in his generations, for Noah walked with God. He availed himself of the invitation to walk with God. David walked with his God, the Psalms tell us. Paul walked with God. Well, if you want your direction in life to always be right, avail yourself of God's open invitation to all men to walk with Him. And in order to complete this invitation, fulfill the qualifications, simply find yourself in agreement with God. And that would solve that problem. One of the other invitations that I find often in the Bible, actually probably more than 400 times, is an invitation about the dialogues of life. Come talk with me. Isn't that interesting? Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Over 400 invitations in the Bible to carry on a dialogue with God. God speaks to us through His Word and by the power of His Holy Spirit. We speak to Him in prayer. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it overwhelming that God, the Creator of the universe, invites His children to carry on a conversation with Him, to talk with Him? when they have needs to ask Him about, when they have praises to express them to Him, when their hearts are filled with gratitude, to let Him know that. You ever been invited to meet with or speak with someone important? Someone powerful? Someone in a high position? Well, sure you have. As a matter of fact, the God that created you and created this universe has said to us that we may boldly approach the throne of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not a matter of being frightened or having to timidly go before God and say, I have no right to be here and no right to ask this of you, and I'm sorry about this, and I apologize for imposing on your time. No, God has said, you've got an open invitation from me to talk to me anytime you want to, and if you'll talk to me, I will show you great and mighty things. And things which thou knowest not. God said, if you'll talk with me, I'll teach you some things that you don't yet know. I'll give you insights you don't have. I'll reveal secrets to you. David said in the Psalms, I believe it was Psalm 66, that God revealeth His secrets to those that talk with Him. He gives you knowledge about things you didn't have knowledge of before. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Whatsoever things ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's an invitation from the Lord Jesus for you to have a dialogue with His Father, God, the Creator of the universe, an open invitation for you to boldly approach the throne of grace. Who are you talking to? Who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to carry on a conversation with and learn from and be around? I don't think we have to look too closely at these simple invitations to understand why, as Christians, we're kind of weak and emaciated today. Why we don't really get excited about our relationship with God and our faith. We don't avail ourselves of these great invitations of God. Jeremiah 29:12, then thou shalt call on me, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What a great opportunity to carry on a dialogue with God that created it all. Tell me about your prayer life. I'll tell you what you're doing to serve God if you'll tell me how much you talk with God, what kind of conversations you have with Him. Think for a few minutes about your prayers. Would you like to be on the other end of your prayers? Would you like to be God and hear your own prayers? Where we sometimes mindlessly, before we go to sleep, pray the same prayer over and over again every night. Do I think God gets bored? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if He doesn't get really bored with some of our prayers. We just change the words of, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We pray that prayer till we're about six. And then we learn another one, and we pray it until we're about 60. And then we start getting closer to the other side of life, and we get serious about praying again. Tell me about what you've done with your invitation from God to talk to Him. And then the dedication of life. Come work with me. This is a really exciting invitation. You have a job opportunity. Every one of you have a job opportunity. You've been asked to go to work for the King of Heaven. You've been asked to go to work for the Creator of the universe. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Hear that? We're laborers together with God. We're God's husbandry, God's building. We are co-laborers with God, doing God's work. Well, you say, I'm still in school. That invitation isn't extended to me. Oh, yes, it is. It's been extended to you every day of your Christian life and experience since you've known Christ as your personal Savior. I spend a great deal of my time talking to people who have no earthly idea what to do with their lives. They're just unhappy. They're not sure what they want to be when they grow up. I had an opportunity to talk to a man in his early 70s this past month. A very frustrated man in his 70s who still doesn't know what he wants to be when he grows up. He still doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. But after all, isn't that true of most of you? You've overlooked an invitation to dedicate your life to the Lord. You've overlooked an invitation to work for God. Oh, if you got a letter from BMW, that might get you excited, offering a job opportunity. Or maybe you received a letter from the Capitol in Washington inviting you to go to work in a high position for the federal government. That might get you excited. But every one of us have an open invitation to dedicate our lives to God and to work for Him all of our life. What kind of job benefits has God got? What kind of tools does He furnish us to work with? He's put all the power of heaven at our disposal. He's got a great retirement plan. You never run out of money. Social Security, they're pretty worried today that we're going to run out of Social Security. And some of us old guys that have paid in it all of our life may get ready to collect it. There may not be anything there. There is absolutely no problem with God's retirement program. There is no lack of everything you need when it comes time for you to enter into your rest after your days of labor. The problem is that many, if not most Christians, don't really accept God's invitation to work with Him, to be totally dedicated to Him. There's several more of these invitations, many of them. One that I really would have preferred to skip, the darkness of life, the invitation to come suffer with me. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren, yea, his life also, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord said to the apostle Paul in Acts 9:16, for I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He intending to build a tower that sitteth down not first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he's laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. The Apostle Paul made this great statement about suffering in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Paul said in his testimony in Philippians chapter 3 that all those things that were profit to him in his life, he cast aside and considered but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, that he might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Here's an invitation we all try to avoid. Here's an invitation we all run from. But it is his suffering that cleansed us from our sins, my friends. There are some prices to be paid for serving God and for being Christians. And as I prayed over this message and thought about it, I thought, Lord, you know, these are such great and marvelous invitations to come and work with you and walk with you and talk to you. But to be completely honest and to reveal the whole truth, we are invited to suffer with Him. The Lord Jesus was cursed among men. People didn't like Him. They rejected Him for the most part. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They mocked Him when they crucified Him. There is a price to be paid for accepting the invitations of God. And you need to count that cost. And many men are not willing to pay that price to have the power of God in their lives and the fellowship of God. But you know, that doesn't end it. I thank God that doesn't end it. The delights of life, there are many invitations to come rejoice with me. Matthew 25:21, the Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Bible tells us the Lord Jesus has come that our joy might be complete. Paul speaks of rejoicing 16 times in the prison epistle of the book of Philippians. Rejoicing, excited, happy, joyous. Isn't it interesting that suffering and joy can coexist in the life of a Christian? It can't coexist in the life of a person that does not know God. Suffering in the lives of people who don't know God can never bring them joy or happiness. But there is a rejoicing in our relationship with God. And we have an open invitation to rejoice with Him. All through the Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here in Matthew 25:21. Many, many other passages that tell us we ought to be a happy, joyous, rejoicing people. The last thing I want you to see is the dwelling place of life. Where we're going to live for eternity. God gives us an invitation to come and dwell with Him. Literally, to be where He is forever. What a marvelous invitation. In a place where everything is taken care of for you. In a place where you have a perfect relationship. In a place where there's no sickness and death and pain. For all the things that we know in this life are passed away. In a place where there are no graveyards and no funeral homes. Listen to what the Scripture says in John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So that where I am, there you may be also. God said to Enoch when he walked with him, just come on home with me. Dwell with me. God says to every one of us, I've got a dwelling place for you for all eternity. And you can come and live with me. And we'll set aside all the things of this life that have been so painful and heartbreaking and burdensome for you. And you can spend forever with me. In a place of joy and happiness. I don't know how you feel about that, but to me, that is an overwhelming invitation. What a gracious and glorious invitation to come and dwell with God. Well, these are just a few. of the many invitations in Scripture. What have you done with them? Have you accepted these invitations from God? Or do you just go on like you never received them? Many of you have some unopened invitations in your life. You better get in this book and open them up and enjoy the blessings God has for you in this life and in the life to come. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Scripture, for the simplicity of it and the truth in it. From your grace revealed to us in these wonderful, wonderful invitations in life, help us, Lord, to be wise enough to answer affirmatively to your invitations. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust you've accepted God's invitations that Dr. Wood has shared with us today. In a day when there is much confusion circulating about Bible translations, it's important for the Christian to be informed to the extent that he can both defend the inspiration of the Bible and with kindness present the issues to those who assign special inspiration to specific versions of the Bible. For helpful information written with the layman in mind, we'd like to send you a free copy of the booklet, Light on the Bible Text Debate. Written by Dr. Thurman Wisdom, Dean Emeritus of the School of Religion at Bob Jones University, Light on the Bible Text Debate will provide you with an honest evaluation of the various positions taken today on Bible translations. Just write to us and ask for your free copy of the booklet on the textual debate. Our address is Chapel Echoes, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Why not invite a friend to join us for another Chapel Echoes program next time, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.